Good morning. Welcome to church. I see everybody's still filing in. Am I starting early? What time is it? Good to be here to worship with you this morning. We're really honored, all of us together, to join our voices and to bring praise to the Lord. He's so good to us, and I don't know what kind of week you've had, but mine's been kind of, I don't know, a lot of people sick and just kind of stressful. And I need the quiet of the Lord's presence here today. I need him to speak to my heart, and I think maybe there's some people here that need some rest and to feel the life that God gives you, that you don't get from your own, you don't get it from your own strength. You get the strength of the Lord as it plays out in your heart and plays out in your life on a daily basis. So let's just stand and worship him now and invite him here in our hearts. Lord, we love you and we want to praise you. We thank you for everything you do in our lives, and we worship you now.
Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
Here I am
to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
King of all days.
King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor.
Here I am.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
I'll never know.
I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross.
Here I am
to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Here I am.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me. He guides us all along the right paths for his name's sake. And even like in the voice of, in the story of Joseph that pastor's been preaching on, when it doesn't look like God is in what you're going through, God is always always working in your life to accomplish his purposes and to mold you and shape you into who he wants you to be. And he's going to work through your life, even when things are really dark. And so even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you for the truth that we read in this passage, and we claim it for ourselves. We know you're speaking this into our lives today, personally and presently, God. And so we accept that now, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives. And we lift our praise to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to present a new song here. It's not a new song. We just haven't done it with you guys yet. So enjoy and sing along as you get it.
I won't forget the wonder of how you brought deliverance, the exodus of my heart. You found me, you freed me, held back the waters for my release. Oh Yahweh, you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
A cloud by day,
a cloud by day, a sign that you are with me. Fire by night, a guiding light to my feet. You found me, you freed me, held back the waters for my release. Oh Yahweh, you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Into my Egypt, you took me by the hand, you marched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You stepped into my Egypt, you took me by the hand, you marched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You stepped into my Egypt, you took me by the hand, you marched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will
sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You're the God. You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name. You called my name. And I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old me knew when I met you. Jesus called me, called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. I needed rescue.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
Now I was broken. You were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name,
if I could have just a quick second, I know we traditionally embarrass people with a happy birthday, but yesterday was Haley's birthday. She hates being sung to. So I'm going to do something different. I promised I wouldn't embarrass her too bad. But so instead of singing happy birthday to her, go out of your way when you see her after church to say happy birthday and give her a hug, because I know she'll love that so much more. So happy birthday, Haley.
Thank you, worship team. Can I have Seth, could you get the handheld microphone for me? We're going to be passing the, can you guys all hear me okay? Here we go. We'll be passing around the microphone in just a little bit for the next part of our service together as we share scripture passages with one another, maybe a passage of scripture where you were this week or maybe this morning. We'll be doing that, and also want to allow just a few minutes, if you have one, the sharing of testimonies. What's the Lord been doing in your life in this very short year we've had so far? So we'll be passing around the microphone for words of testimony, words of praise to our Lord. We'll be doing that in just a moment. Two very, very quick announcements as it relates to next Sunday. I do want to always remind us, during the winter months, we never know what one Sunday to the next will hold. If perchance we see a upcoming storm and the weatherman, the weatherwoman tells us it's going to fall on a Sunday and it looks like we might have to cancel, please remember we, in that case, so we can meet that weekend, we will meet together Saturday afternoons at 4 o'clock. Okay, so just a very quick reminder. You'll always know about this by going to the church website. That'll be the first place that we post it. So if there's any questions with regards to a Sunday gathering and whether we have it or not due to inclement weather, please keep an eye on that because we do want to meet and not be able to meet. So just a quick reminder. Also for next Sunday, first Sunday of the month, Communion Sunday, just want to give you a little bit of a heads up. We always take up our deacon's offering, our benevolent offering, the first Sunday of the month. And just want to bring to your attention that over the last month or so, the deacons have made some very significant distributions from that fund to be able to help families in the church with one need or another. And so we just wanted to let you know about that, where the account is getting a bit depleted. So we just want you to know about that in advance, in preparation for next Sunday and that part of our service. So wanted to let you know about that. Everybody have scripture in front of them today? Go ahead, take out your word of God, whether printed form or electronic form, go ahead and take it out, all righty? Let's be found in scripture at this time. And where have you been this week in God's word? What have you been reading? What has he been showing to you and revealing to you? Or maybe you're here today and you're just bursting forth. You've got something to say of how the Lord has worked in your life this week, this month, and you want to give public praise and testimony to him. Who wants to start us off?
Good morning. I work part-time at Hobby Lobby, and every day when I go into work, I always say thank you, Lord, for what you have put before me, and that I will be visually and hearing that someone might need a pleasant word or whatever. Well, he went overboard this one day, and a lady came in and was looking to see if we were, you know, hiring. And she had just lost her husband a couple of months ago and having a very hard time, you know, dealing with that. And so I talked to her for a little while. It was before everything got busy. I gave her the, you know, the name of our church, and I said we are, you know, would love to have you visit, and that Pastor Rick would probably be able to talk with you if you wanted to. So I just praised the Lord, saying, "Oh, thank you." So she seemed a lot more at peace after that. So her name is Donna, if you want to pray for her during this time, and hope she comes. Thank you.
All right. Hey, Ron had Seth, you want to get it to the microphone to Dad? As the microphone is coming to Ron, let's pray for Donna right now together. Gracious Lord, thank you for the divine appointments that you give to us regularly. To speak a word for you or about you and who you are. And Lord, today for Donna, we want to lift her up to you, Father, that your hand of grace would be upon her to sustain her this day for the needs in her life, for the losses she has experienced, and for the grief that is in her heart. Lord, I pray that you would work in her heart unto the opening of her eyes to Jesus the Lord, that she would taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, work in her life unto eternal life. Work in her life, Lord, I pray, unto comfort and healing and restoration of a deep, deep grief. Lord, would you work in this dear lady's heart today? We commit her to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mr. Malone.
It seems that God is always, for people who are paying attention, has his finger on you, me. With this wicked sin of idolatry, where we take our eyes off from him, even for Christian radio stations, it is a terrible sin to take our eyes in complete dedication away from our Father God, our Savior. And it happens so subtly. I am thankful that God has always forgiven me for my sins, as I've asked him, and that he is always ready to do that for all. I am so thankful for the victories this week that some of us here have had physically and otherwise. And God is so good. There are other gods who are coming our way, folks, and they want us to support them and rally on them. And we shall never do it. For our God is Jesus Christ our Lord, and his Father our Father, even Yahweh. I thank God for his word. And Pastor has said, even months ago, even weeks ago, never give up what God has shown you. Never forget. Thank you.
All right, Ron. Thank you, friend. Thank you, friend. Any others, folks? All right, Mary? Ron, thank you. All right, there you go, dear.
I have a prayer request. I have a coworker. His name is John. He told me the other day that his elderly sister is in hospice care. She's in her 70s, and she has liver cancer, and it's days or weeks that she has. And I was able the next day after he told me this I had a book of God's promises for, you know, whatever situation you're in. There's a chapter on it with Bible verses, and I asked him if he'd be willing to take it and either read it for himself or read it to his sister, and thankfully he took it. I don't know if you will read it, but if you could pray for John and his sister's name is Eileen, pray for their salvation, especially Eileen at this point. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. And Eileen is the one with?
Eileen is the sister. She has liver cancer and she's dying.
Eileen.
Yeah. Yep.
And John.
And John is my coworker.
A coworker. John and Eileen, his sister. All right, John, I'm coming up to you in a second, friend. Gracious Lord, for the very urgent request that Mary has just shared with us. Lord, we lift up to you today, John and Eileen. And Lord, the need to see you and to have life eternal that they can possess as their own. Lord, we know that you have told us in your word that it is by your Spirit that you regenerate lost souls. You are the one who touches the human heart. And Lord, it is through your word and the work that your Spirit does through your word. And Lord, I thank you that your word in this way through Mary went forth this week. Lord, would you use it powerfully, we pray, that it would not remain or return void, but it would accomplish that for which it was sent. Lord, touch that family, I pray. And Lord, for Eileen's great need, the diagnosis of the liver cancer, the prognosis moving forward. And Lord, my prayer for her today is that you would grant unto her grace upon grace, amazing grace, all sufficient grace, to be able to handle that which is on her plate this day. Lord, we do not know her future, her weeks, or even her days, or her hours. Yet, Lord, we know that all of them are numbered with your, by your divine sovereignty. And Lord, we know and we believe that you are even still a healing God this day, but yet you move in ways that bring glory to your name and in ways that are according to your providence and your divine sovereignty. Lord, we're going to trust in you, what you will do for her with regards to her health and her medical condition. Lord, I pray that your hand would be upon her heart and her mind and her understanding. That, Lord, in this time in her life, she might see and know Jesus. And Lord, I'm going to trust the medical stuff to you, O Lord. We commit John and Eileen into your care today. And thank you that you put Mary right where you put her. You used her. She opened her mouth and she spoke of you. Lord, give us the courage to do that this week too. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John, I'm coming upstairs to you, my friend.
No microphone, but I can talk loud. I found myself this week in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who fall asleep, who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep.
John, thank you. John lost his mom this week. And, Lord, I want to pray for my brother John today. Thank you for the words that he was able to share today and encourage your family with. And Lord, thank you for that grand truth from your word, Lord, that we need not grieve unnecessarily as the world does. Lord, we know where we are going. Father, I thank you for our loved ones who have gone before, today enjoying you in glory and in splendor. I thank you, Lord, that death no longer has to have the final word, that it has been defeated. Oh, death, where is your sting? For it was Jesus, it was our Jesus, and it was the cross that dealt it a death blow. Lord, thank you that we today are a people of hope, a people with a sure future, a people with a home being prepared for us even now, and we are a people with a very soon coming Savior. And Lord, today we will be encouraged. Thank you for the hope that resides within us. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen. And now as we continue worshiping this morning, folks, gentlemen, would you join me up front at this time? We're going to bring forth unto this Lord our offerings, our tithes, that which we have prayed about, that we have set aside, And now we will give unto him, and we will worship him. Friends, we've been worshiping our Lord today, and as we've read his words, we've sung his praises, as we've shared testimony. Friends, that which we do right now is an act of worship. Worship your King as you place your offering in the offering plate today. Lord Jesus, oh, what a blessing it is to be found in the house of the living God today. Here you will find a worshiping people with hearts attuned to the leading of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we prepare now to give in this thankful act of worship, oh Lord, would you receive these gifts? Thank you for first giving them to us. Lord, thank you for blessing us so, for meeting our needs. Oh Lord, we are a blessed people. And of course, Lord, you've heard from our lips before that we know very, very well that our greatest blessing is Jesus. It is not found in dollars and cents. It is not found in any of the things of the world. Though, Lord, we acknowledge you have met our needs. But, Lord, because we are a people of overflowing thanksgiving, we now give. Receive the gifts of your people, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jennifer makes her way to this side of the sanctuary, she'll lead us in the next portion of our worship together. And she's going to tell us a little bit about a piece of music that we're going to worship the Lord with.
Good morning. You can bring the first slide up, please. Oh, yeah. Just a moment, they say. Last week, Ed Williams, who's not here today, usually sits behind Ryan and Carol. If you're watching from home, Ed, he came up to the organ prior to the service, and he was telling me a little story. And then he said, you know, he says, not every song or hymn or chorus is necessarily a praise song. And I thought to myself, really? It's not? He goes, no. He says, there's testimony types and there's adoration and there's worship. And I said, yeah, well, that's true. And I recalled that in our hymnal, way in the back of the hymnal on pages 702 through, I think it's 713, it breaks it down. There's a topical index. It has all kinds of listings in there. And the first slide, when they get it ready, tells about some of the different styles you can find in the hymnal. You know, music is really a universal language. It really is. It speaks to the soul, whether you know the words or not, or whether or not you can speak the verbal language that people around you can speak. Music speaks to the soul, and it speaks to others. And we have the opportunity to share our love of Christ with others through music, especially in the church. I'm so thankful that we can do that. Susan, you're saying no, it's not going to happen. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to play a piece called I Surrender All. And it is a song of commitment and dedication. And you know what? The bottom line really is praise and worship. The umbrella, if you will. Praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and worship to God. I surrender all. I don't know what page it's on, 366. If you want to read the words while I play, I had them on the PowerPoint, but that's not working today. But there's always another way. So on page 366, if you want to follow along with the words. I surrender all.
Children who are going to junior church are dismissed at this time. Those of you who are remaining with me, the first book of your Bibles, the book of Genesis, would you find chapter 39 there? And those of you who are joining us at home, a great big old welcome to you. Thank you for being with us this morning and being part of our worshiping community. And please follow along with us who are here in the sanctuary today in the book of Genesis in chapter 39. We're going to get there in just a moment. Before we do, can we pray together? And then we're going to study God's word together. We're going to continue on in our ongoing study through the life of a young man by the name of Joseph, whom we encounter in the book of Genesis today. Let's pray together, and then we'll have the privilege, the great privilege of being found in God's word. Oh Lord, we are mindful of the fact that we appear today and we have an audience today with the Lord God of heaven and earth, our Maker, our Redeemer, and our King. We know that we have an audience this day with the one who has given to us this book, this volume, has inspired its contents, has led through your Holy Spirit the human author to record for us divine truths. And we know today we possess in our hands the very Word of God. Lord, we thank you for its inspired stories, for its preserved truths. And Lord, as we look into the life of one of your great saints from many, many, many years ago, Lord, may your Holy Spirit direct us unto its truths, to take these truths and to bless them to our hearts, to work them out into our lives. Oh Lord, our prayer today is to God be the glory, and Lord, have your way with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the little volume entitled The Joy of Knowing God, written by Richard Strauss, he tells the story of this event that occurred in his family's life one day with these words. Listen to his story. He writes, "Everyone in my family is convinced that God led a collie by the name of Levi to our door. His name was engraved on the tag hanging around his neck when he arrived. Can you imagine a dog named Levi finding the Strauss home? Our youngest son had been praying for a dog for nearly 3 years, but we had laid down some stringent requirements. First, he had to be housebroken. Secondly, he had to be obedient. And third, he had to be a gentle people dog in order to live in a pastor's home where visitors come and go regularly. When my wife returned the dog to its owner, whose address was also engraved on the tag, she said kiddingly, 'If you ever want to get rid of this dog, please let us know.' The surprising reply was, 'Well, I do. I'm looking for a good home for him right now.' My wife asked if we could think about it overnight. To our delight, Levi got out of his house and found his way to our residence again the next morning. This time we decided he could stay. When the owner brought us his papers, we learned that he had been conceived at the approximate time our son began to pray for a dog, that he was born on my wife's birthday, and that he was an honor graduate of obedience school. No one will ever convince us that Levi's coming was anything other than the gracious work of God, of our sovereign God. Incidentally, he did meet the other requirements as well. And he has a new name now. His name is Levi Strauss. I hope he does not run into any copyright infringements for the rest of his life. This author, this pastor, you may be familiar with his name, saw this as the gracious divine work of God. Well, maybe so. I'll leave that one up to the Lord. I'm not that smart. But, dear friends, this I do know, is that we serve a sovereign God who has all things under his rule, his authority, and his control. Psalm 103, verse 19, reads like this: "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." Psalm 115, verse 3, "But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases." Psalm 135, verses 5 and 6, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas, in all of the deeps." All to say, all things are under his righteous rule, and he is over all things. Yes, even those things that we see happening and unfolding in our world today. This thought leads us to our little continuing study that we're doing in the life of Old Testament Joseph, Genesis 39. Join me in the text with me, if you will, right now. We're going to pick up this morning where we left off last week. Last time we were with our friend Joseph, you will remember that he had just been sold as a piece of merchandise to a group of traveling Ishmaelite traders making their way down to Egypt. 20 shekels of silver would exchange hands, and Joseph was on his way south. Upon reaching their destination, we read together in the final verse of Genesis chapter 37 that Joseph had been sold once again, this time in Egypt, to Potiphar. We're simply told that he was an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard. That's where we left off with Joseph last week. So let's pick up in the storyline this morning. Genesis 39, find your way to verse 1. Here we go. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house. He put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. Because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. And now the last part of verse 6, this will set the scene for next week, when it says, "Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance." We'll get to that one a little bit later. Now the caravan route to Egypt, this is going to be about a 200-mile journey for these Ishmaelite traders along with Joseph. Now providing for some stops along the way, this would be certainly a 2 to 3 week journey on their behalf. Travel conditions would have been anything but pleasant for sure, especially difficult for these traders, and even more so for the slaves they had amongst them. And in this transport, suffice it to say that there were no first-class conditions in Joseph's trip south. As a matter of fact, I made reference to Psalm 105 last week. Let me refer to it just one more time very quickly, that talks about Joseph being sold as a slave and just a little bit of what those travels south may have been like. Psalm 105, verse 17, verse 18 says, "And he," meaning God, "sent a man ahead of them," Joseph, "listen, who was sold as a slave," listen, "his feet were hurt with fetters, his neck was put into a collar of iron." This would have been just a small glimpse of Joseph's trip south. Now, we cannot know with absolute certainty what Joseph was thinking at this point in time. We don't have the record of that, so I will not surmise at all. But how has his life been turning out to this point in the storyline? I mean, it seems that things have gotten somewhat out of control. And think of this with me. Just think of this. Joseph is in the position that he is today, here in Genesis 30, the end of 37, now in Genesis 39. He's in the position he is today because he was obedient to the will of his father. That's why. The father had given to him the simple task of going and checking in on his brothers to find out how they were doing. So he would track him down to Shechem and then up to Shechem and up to Dothan after that. He's simply obeying the words of his father. He would go and he would check on his brothers, even though he also knew that they despised him. The Bible says they can't even speak a kind word to him. Yet he would find himself in obedience to his father, and he is where he is at today because he obeyed the voice of his father. Simply put, sometimes obedience to God can be a costly thing. There are some of you here this morning or listening and online, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. How could this be happening to him? Man, if the pit wasn't bad enough, now slavery. And in Egypt at that. And his father would not even know his whereabouts. And Joseph's dreams, remember those dreams that he had earlier? Those dreams are going to turn to nightmares. But because you and I today, because we have the rest of the story, because we have the completed text, we already know. Joseph does not know this at this time. He does not have the end of the story, as Paul Harvey used to like to say so often. Because he did not have that, you got to wonder if he had become despondent, discouraged, disillusioned along the way. Some might have thought so. But on the contrary, think of this with me, if you will. God is actually using these slave traders to deliver him out of the hand of his murderous brothers and putting him right in the place where he wants him to be for a later time. Point being, God's hand is all over this thing. He will bring along these Ishmaelite traders at just the right time to deliver his man to just the right place for an opportunity at a later time. Have you ever noticed how God does that? How he will raise up people, how he will move people along for his plans and his purposes. We just finished last month, the month of December, our Advent messages. And God rose up a fellow by the name of Augustus Caesar. Do you remember him? And it would be because of his decree that young Mary, young Joseph, New Testament Joseph, would have to travel from Nazareth down some 75, 80 miles down to Bethlehem, and would be through the decree of this one man. Yet God is going to be moving his people along. In that case, it would be his son, so he could be born in Bethlehem and fulfill Scripture. God has a way of doing that. And make no mistake about it, in the Joseph story, God's hand is all over it. And might I suggest to you the very same way that he is all over your life today. Even in those days and those seasons when you might not fully understand it or see it clearly, maybe, just maybe, because your eyes are filled with tears and you don't catch it at that time. Make no mistake about it, he's all over your story too and mine. God is in control. He is the one who is directing this caravan to Egypt. We know the end of the story because we have the completed record. Oh, and before we go any further, allow me to say this, if I may. Are you holding your Bible today? You have God's word in your possession today? Okay. Important point to bring up at this point in time. This precious book that we have, God's Word, this was not available to Joseph at that time. Had not been completed. Forget completed. Had not even been written. This is early, early, early on. So it's not like we could say to Joseph, hey, Joseph, why don't you, just pick up one of the Psalms. I find those to be incredibly encouraging. The Psalms won't even be written for another 800 to 900 to 1100 years later. He has none of that to lean on. Hey, Joseph, why don't you just pick up one of the Old Testament books and read about one of the, the fathers of the faith. Read how they got through it. There is no Old Testament at that time. The author of the first five books of the Old Testament, Moses, wouldn't even be born for another 400 years. He does not have this like you and I have this. He does not know the end of the story. But I think Joseph does have several things, though. Number one, based upon that culture, Joseph would have had oral tradition. He would have had that. He would have had the stories that his father, his grandfather, would have passed down to them. He would have had the story of God selecting this people group, raising them up to be his chosen people. I'd be willing to venture a guess that he had probably even heard from the time he was knee-high to a grasshopper the story of how his great-grandfather Abraham one day made a trip to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his grandfather Isaac on an altar, and God would raise up a replacement sacrifice at that time. I bet you he heard that story a bunch of times. He would have had, all to say, he would have had oral tradition. The hand of God involved in this family, the raising up of a nation, the Hebrews, and his purposes for them. And of course, he would have also had his dreams, the dreams that God gave to him earlier in Genesis chapter 37. So he did have at his disposal these things, I believe, to hold on to. But today, dear friends, you and I, not only do we have the entirety of the Joseph narrative, we have the entirety of Old and New Testament alike. We have all 39 Old Testament books, all 27 New Testament books, beginning to end. We have the entire revealed will of God in our possession. Be found in it regularly, will you? The Lord is communicating to us. Now, back to the storyline. All this time, back in Hebron, Jacob, Joseph's dad, he's been mourning the death of his boy. Joseph hadn't died, but Joseph's brothers had led Jacob, had led their father to believe that deceitful truth. Joseph was still alive. But what Jacob had is he had Joseph's cloaked, drenched in goat's blood. He had surmised that Joseph had been devoured by a fierce animal, torn to pieces, and his other sons actually allowed him to believe that lie, though it was the furthest thing from the truth. So back in Hebron, Jacob is mourning the death of his son. When the truth of the matter is, Joseph is actually heading south in a caravan of merchants who are looking now to turn a profit from their latest investment. And Jacob mourns deeply. I don't know about you, but I have in my mind's eye, my imagination anyway, of as the story unfolds of Joseph just from time to time maybe turning back and looking back at the horizon, wondering if his brothers were going to have a change of heart, if they were going to change their minds about what they had done. Surely they'll realize the wrong that they did. Surely they'll change their mind. Surely they'll come after me, but to no avail. It did not happen. And into Potiphar's house he will land. Now, what might be just sheer chance and coincidence from a human perspective, make no mistake about it, there are no coincidences in God's plan. God's sovereign leading is all over this thing. That will become so very evident as the storyline continues to unfold. The Lord continues to work out his sovereign purposes for Joseph. He will work out his sovereign purposes for the nation of Israel. It would unfold over a period of hundreds of years. But for today's text, he is going to lead Egypt's Potiphar to purchase Joseph as a household servant, a household slave. Now think through this with me, if you will. He will now be placed in Potiphar's household. Potiphar has connections with the Pharaoh. He comes in a little bit later in the storyline, okay? While in Potiphar's control, Joseph will not be assigned to prison duty. Joseph will not be assigned to the garden staff. Joseph will not be put in the position where he is distanced from Potiphar. According to verse 2, he's going to be in Potiphar's house, right where the Lord wants him to be. And while there, Potiphar is going to have the opportunity to observe his newest acquisition, his newest household servant. And it's not long before he begins to notice that this young Hebrew servant, he's got some pretty amazing gifts. He's got some pretty amazing skill sets about him. It becomes very evident to Potiphar. Potiphar does not lose sight of this. And there is absolutely no coincidence that Joseph is right where he is on this day. His brothers only had evil and Joseph's destruction in mind. God would take that evil and he would turn it for good. Does the same thing today, you know. To those who love the Lord, he will take that which is evil, he will work it for good to those who love him and are called according to his name. Now, this young Hebrew did have some amazing gifts for sure. It came to Potiphar's attention. The text tells us a number of times, look at the Bible again, that the Lord was with Joseph, that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed, and Joseph would actually be the source of blessing into Potiphar's house. The text tells us that Potiphar notices, look at this, that the Lord, capital O-R-D, Yahweh, that the Lord is with Joseph, that he is the source of Joseph's success. Now, I don't know about you, but as I'm reading through this text, a number of questions come to my mind. Number one, how does Potiphar notice this, and how does he make the connection that it was Yahweh who is behind all of these blessings? After all, this is a country of great polytheism. The Egyptians recognized over 2,000 gods. Pharaoh's just one of the many, many gods. How is it that Potiphar makes the connection that it is through Joseph and God's working through Joseph that these blessings have come into his life? Potiphar sees that the Lord is with Joseph. How does he know that? An interesting question. I think the simple answer might be Joseph simply relayed to Potiphar that he and his people and the land where he came from served the Most High God. He may simply have told him, possibly. Listen to the words of Dr. Howard Voss. Dr. Voss is a longtime professor of history and archaeology at King's College. He writes this. He says, perhaps Potiphar concluded that God was with Joseph because he gave God the credit for his evident abilities. It was not clear how else Potiphar would have made such a determination. It seems clear, however, that Joseph did not allow himself to become embittered by the treatment of his brothers, nor did he allow his spirit to be enslaved to captivity. Dr. Voss writes, he refused to be destroyed by circumstances. Perhaps, the revelation received in his two dreams provided light regarding the ultimate outcome of things. Very interesting observation he makes. With everything that has been taken away from Joseph, he still has those dreams to hold on to, and he certainly would have had the oral tradition of his family to hold on to. Might have he been holding on to these things? It makes perfect sense that Potiphar came to a knowledge of Joseph's God through Joseph giving testimony and telling Potiphar about it. In a culture of many, many, many gods, who is the God that is dispensing these blessings? That kind of God would certainly stand out for sure, don't you think? Which causes me simply to observe and to say today, don't ever be shy, don't ever be tentative to share with others the source of your blessings and what you have to be thankful for and what God has done for you. I know that the world and the culture in which we live in today wants to silence us. Do not be silenced. Never shy away from giving a good word or a testimony about your God and what he has done. May it all point to him, and to God be the glory in all things. When Joseph was at home back in Hebron with his family, with his brothers, his siblings considered him to be the troublemaker, the bratty little brother of Daddy Dearest, you know, the family tattletale. But now in Egypt, he is the source of Potiphar's blessings. God is working in his life. And when I think of being a source of blessing, and I think of Joseph's family and where he came from, his dad, Jacob, his grandfather, Isaac, great-grandfather, Abraham, one of the things that comes to my mind was the giving of the Abrahamic covenant back in Genesis chapter 12, chapter 15, chapter 17. And the promises that were given to Abraham, there are largely three: land, seed, and blessing. Those are the promises given to Abram. But one of them is the blessing. And to Abram and to this people group, God would say, whoever blesses you, I will bless. I think the story we read in Genesis 39 is an outflow of that. Joseph is becoming a blessing to these people. Okay? Which makes me think very quickly, this is a very, very little rabbit trail here, about a blessing and the Abrahamic covenant. By the way, which is still a valid ongoing covenant today. Did you know that? Especially as it relates to the nation of Israel. And those who bless these people, this people group, God will bless. And those who come against them will face the wrath of God. Because these are his people. These are his chosen people. Okay? Today we see and we hear in the news and we read about a growing anti-Semitism. Actually, not only in this country, but around the world. Many times those are crimes committed against individual Jews or groups of Jews or synagogues, things like that. But it goes far beyond that. It goes to those nations' leaders and nations that try to marginalize the Hebrew people in the land of Israel. Oh, God help them for doing that. These are God's chosen people, and that's why it is absolutely crucial, it is critical that we, as a nation today, the United States of America, remain in a very favorable relationship with those people. God's hand is upon them. And to that, just a few points of quick application. Whenever you make your way to a voting booth, and a lot of times for Christians, things that are important to them, and they should be, is how this particular lawmaker will vote or enact laws of things that are important to us, maybe such as the sanctity of human life. What kind of judges will they appoint? Or maybe the definition of marriage and how they feel about all important issues. Can I add one more thing to that? Let it be in the back of your mind as you make your way into a voting booth one day. How do these people feel about the nation of Israel? And how will they enact laws as it relates to that people? Because in God's Abrahamic covenant, those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. God help us if we ever turn our backs on the nation of Israel. It's part of the Abrahamic covenant even today. Even today. Joseph would be a source of blessing to Potiphar's house, and God would be behind all of it. Verse 5, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. So the blessings upon his house are very evident to Potiphar. He sees that he attributes it to Joseph. It's probably from Joseph that he hears about who is really responsible for all of this. And through it all, the Lord is at work. Make no mistake about it. He's at work. He's at work in your life too, and at mine. He's in charge of everything except for that which Potiphar ate. And all this is being used to set the stage for what comes next. God is at work raising up and training his man for the job that he has for him at a later time. But today, Joseph is still in God's school of advanced leadership training. Listen to the writer of Proverbs chapter 22. Listen to verse 29. Proverbs 22:29 says, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. I read a verse like that. I see Joseph written all over it. So think through this with me, if you will, today as we start winding things down. The sovereign God of Israel is very much involved in this man's life. The very same way he's involved in yours and in mine. He guided him. He watched over him from being thrown in the pit by his brothers to being sold to Midianite traders, to being placed in Potiphar's home and rising ultimately to a position of prominence in that home. God's hand is all over it. Joseph might not have seen it in this way at this time because he didn't know the end of his story at that time. But think of it. What did he do? He helped Joseph to transition into a new culture. He gave him facility in the Egyptian language. And on top of all that, he gave him favor in Potiphar's eyes. And Joseph demonstrates success in his job. And he proves faithful in little things. Potiphar will put him in charge of greater things. Yeah, I think we've heard that somewhere before, haven't we? All right. I'm out of time this morning. Let me throw out some takeaways, and then I set you on your way. What can we bring forth from today's story? Can I share three things with you? Number one, whether one finds themselves in the pit or in the palace or somewhere in between, God is still in control. He is still in heaven, and he sits on the throne. And wherever you are at today, you are in his good hand, in his keeping, under his training, for his time. Plenty had happened to Joseph at this point in time that could have convinced him that God had walked away from him, that God had utterly abandoned him, yet nothing was further from the truth. The truth of the matter is God is training his man for his time in his school of advanced leadership training. The Lord is in the process of fashioning his leader. I just throw out a question to you today. Are you in the Lord's school of molding today? Are you in the Lord's school of training today for something he has planned for you? Remember, the Lord knows your story and mine, as he did with Joseph from beginning to the end. If there's any story in Scripture, this is certainly one of them that we can go to that demonstrates that. And the Lord is alive, and he is active, and he's working in your life and for his purposes and for his glory and for his pleasure. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or we think, according to the power that works within us. He's at work today, dear friends. Doesn't matter what the talking heads on the television say today, he's in charge. Number two, as Joseph's life was a blessing to Potiphar's house, and that became very evident to Potiphar with the passing of time, would you allow the Lord to use you and your life as a blessing to others, with Christ working in and through you? Would you come alongside others, maybe with your words, maybe, I don't know, with your testimony, maybe with your friendship, maybe with a note that you write, maybe with just your presence, and encourage somebody this week? Folks, I don't have to rehearse this for you. You know as well as I do, we live in such a discouraging and divided world and country today. Let's be different. You come along with a smile, with a good word. You'll be surprised how far that will go. Be a blessing to somebody this week. Number three, I would say this, and this is the last of it. Joseph did not have any part of the written word that you and I possess today. The word that tells us the end of the story, the word that we go to encourage us and to stabilize us and to strengthen us. He did not have the completed biblical canon as you and I have today. But he would have had oral tradition, and he certainly had those dreams that God had given to him. He did not know the end of his story. We do, so we have a bit of an advantage here. Which just leads me to say this. Would you encourage yourself this week with the inexhaustible truths of reassurance, of inspiration, of the good promises from the Word of God. Do that. Be found there. Maybe, just maybe this week, you want to go to a psalm of blessing and read about the characteristics of the blessed man. And well, find yourself in Psalm 1 and enjoy. Maybe you want to see the hand of the Lord at work in the nation of Israel. And Jeremiah chapter 29, that'd be a good place to go. And you will read something like this. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Or maybe you'll want to visit or revisit, to read or to reread. And go in several different translations also. And camp in on Paul's good words to the Romans at the end of Romans chapter 8 when he says to them in verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things, not some things, all things work together for good. To everybody? To everybody? No. No. To those who love God and to those who are called according to His purposes. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the word, your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for an ancient story still yet preserved for us today. Thank you, Lord, that your word is sharp, active, sharper than a two-edged sword. Thank you, Lord, that it is inspired, it is without error. That will never lead us astray. Lord, encourage the saints this week in your word, I pray. Lord, cause us to be a blessing to others this week. May we be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. May we be encouraging one to another. And Lord, in those days that seem a little bit more like the pit rather than the palace, encourage the saints, O Lord. May they find you to be real and true and large. And may their hope and their confidence always rest in you. I pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, number 460. I invite you to find your way there with me, if you will. Those of you who are joining us at home and you have a home hymnal up front of you, we're going to be singing here in the congregation, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Let's just do the first and the last verses that we find there. First and last is 460. Let's stand together. Let's worship. Lord, dismiss your congregation today with your blessings. Lord, cause this people to be a blessing to others this week. Lord, go with them today as they take forth their testimony of who you are and bless that into the hearts and the lives of others. Lord, to your glory, we labor and we love you. Lord, bless this congregation, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, dear friends. Have a blessed day in your Lord today. You are dismissed.